The text for the sermon will be from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Not 8. Hear now the reading of God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple and were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw the two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless the proclamation of your word, that you would accompany it with power, with deep conviction by your Holy Spirit, that you would show us Christ and cause us to lay hold of him by a spirit-wrought faith and abide in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text begins on the morning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early. She comes while it is still dark. She awakens early, while it is dark, not knowing that Jesus has been raised from the dead. She longs to be near Jesus. Jesus' death has created an aching in her heart, a deep longing in her soul for the one with whom she had living fellowship during his earthly ministry. The time of day, it is dark, mirrors the turmoil in her heart. Mary is surrounded by darkness, and she believes that her Savior is mired in the darkness of death. And she rises in this darkness, seeking after Jesus. She must be near to Jesus. Why? She remembers the one who told his disciples, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die, but will live forever." She remembers the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. She knows Jesus who said, "The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." She knows the one who embodies life in his person, and she knows him as her Redeemer, her Master, and her Lord, and she must be near to this one. But she believes that she has lost her Savior. She had been in contact with the one who is resurrection life, yet he lay dead, surrounded by darkness in the tomb. The one who said to Lazarus, "Come forth and live," and Lazarus was raised from the dead, that one is mired in the cords of death. She is so overwhelmed with heaviness of heart that she assumes that someone has stolen Jesus' body. She turns to Simon and John to inform them. Peter and John rush to the tomb and enter in, and they find linen cloths and face cloths folded up and lying by itself. Neither had grasped that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You see, Mary is so overwhelmed when she is encountered with an empty tomb that she assumes that Jesus' body has been stolen. And it's interesting and it's very instructive that when she takes the disciples with her, when they return, they look in and they believe. What did they believe? They believe Mary's report that someone had stolen Jesus' body from the grave. And so, what do they do? Having been summoned, having entered, having seen that the tomb is empty, what do? They return to their homes. The disciples who have come in the darkness to seek after Jesus, they find the tomb is empty, and what do? They return in the darkness. But Mary remains. She cannot leave. Her personal connection with Jesus, her love for Jesus, her devotion to Jesus will not let her leave. Even in his death, she remains weeping in misery and longing to be with him. The disciples leave. Mary remains because she has no place else to go. It has been etched indelibly on her soul that only Jesus gives life and hope. And so, she peers into the tomb. And when she peers into the tomb, it is as though she looks into the most holy place in the temple. She sees angels standing at the head and feet of where Jesus' body had been laying. This harkens back to the Ark of the Covenant, where angels, the cherubim of glory, overshadowed the mercy seat and formed, as it were, a throne on which the Lord was seated in the midst of his people. The angels were a sign of the presence of God. And now the angels encircle the place where Jesus' body had been. This is a shift from the holy place where God dwelled in the midst of his people, amidst the wings of the cherubim, to the place where Jesus' body had been. The angels encircle the one in whom God is present in his mercy to save, the person of Jesus. The angels of glory are present because the Lord of glory has been raised, and they point Mary beyond his death to his resurrection, and they do so by asking her a question. "Woman, why are you weeping?" The question is designed to turn Mary to Jesus, not as dead, but as raised. They wanted the joy that had filled the highest heavens to fill Mary's soul. They longed for her to enter into the jubilation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but she does not yet understand. She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." The disciples left because they thought Jesus' body had been stolen. Mary remains, and she says, "Where is Jesus?" She must be near to Jesus. And notice how she speaks. Listen to the personal devotion. She says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Mary speaks with personal devotion and affection. Not even death can separate Mary from her Lord, and she must be where he is, even if it is only the corpse of Jesus Christ. She cannot rest until she is with Jesus, whom she still believes is dead. In an astonishing moment, she turns and sees Jesus standing. But she did not recognize him. She is so overwhelmed and disoriented by her sadness and hopelessness that she does not recognize Jesus. She thinks he is the gardener. Jesus asks her this, "Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?" Notice Jesus uses a generic term, woman. He approaches her as though he does not know her, and he seeks to uncover her desperation. He asks, "Whom are you seeking?" And she responds to him as she did to the angels, "Tell me where you have laid him, and I will go and take him." This is a virtual confession of faith. I must be where Jesus is. Show me where you have taken him. She repeats what she has already said, and the desperation in her voice is obvious. Her deepest longing, her strongest desire, is to be with her Lord. And Jesus, knowing this, calls to her a second time. The first time he addressed her as woman. The second time he calls her by name. And he says, "Mary." He addresses her as Mary, and she recognizes him. It is here that we recognize something very profound about Jesus' ministry. Jesus' sheep know his voice. When Jesus, as the great shepherd, speaks and calls his people by name, they hear his voice. And I want you to notice something about his ministry. Please hear this. Please hear this. Jesus is appearing first as raised from the dead to Mary Magdalene. Jesus does not rise and speak first to millions of people. He does not rise up on the clouds and command all of humanity to hear him as the resurrected Lord. He does not go on a multi-city crusade. He does not go to the central structures of power in the city to reach the culturally elite. The first person to whom Jesus comes is a lonely, heartbroken disciple who loves him and needs him. And he comes to her and summons her by name. The first thing he does is raised, is seek the one whose heart is broken to the point of tears, longing to be with Jesus. And he calls her by name. He calls her by name. The sheep, John 10, know the voice of the shepherd. Mary instantly recognizes this personal address of Jesus, and she calls out Rabboni, which means Master. And in this context, Master is suffused with the wonder of resurrection life. Mary instantly recognizes that her Savior is not bound by the cords of death, but He has been raised never to die again. Rabboni is a confession of wonder and joy that her Master, her Savior, lives. The darkness of morning gives way to the light of day as she sees Jesus raised from the dead. The darkness of Mary's agony gives way to the light of hope. The weeping is turned to joy, and the joy that filled the highest heavens floods Mary's soul as she beholds her Savior raised bodily from the dead. The jubilation of the angels now belongs to Mary, and what is her instant, irrepressible reflex? What does she long to do? She longs to cling to Him and hold to Him because she has found the one she thought was dead, but He has found her and He lives forever. Something remarkable happens. Jesus stops her embrace. You might expect that He would allow Mary to cling to Him. Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't you think Jesus would say, "Cling to me, Mary, because I live forever. Death cannot bind me and death will not bind you. Cling to me because I live." But what does He say? "Do not cling to me. Do not cling to me." She had been weeping over His death. She sought to hold to Him in His life. But Jesus says, "Do not cling to me." Why? Please hear this. Jesus says, "For I have not yet ascended to my Father." Why does Jesus stop the embrace and give the reason, "I have not yet ascended to my Father"? There's a very good reason. First, John 16:13-15 tells us this. Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come." Now listen to verse 14. "He, the Spirit, will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and make it known to you." The Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. Jesus ascends to the Father so that He might send the Spirit, and the Spirit will take, listen, all that is in Christ as crucified, raised, and ascended, all that is in the One who lives forever, all of it will be brought to you by the almighty sovereign power of the Spirit as He leads you into all truth. And He will take all that is in Christ and He will gift it to you. He will make it known to you. He will give all that is in Christ for righteousness and life and salvation, He will give it to you. Jesus ascends to the Father in order to give the Spirit who will mediate Christ to His people in all glory and truth. But there's more. John 14:2-3. Listen to this. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you." Listen. "And if I prepare a place for you," please hear this, "I will come again and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you may be." Jesus must go and prepare a place for Mary. He must go so that he can come again and take Mary with him to be where he is forever. He must leave so that when he comes, he can take Mary, so that where he is, Mary will always be there with him. In other words, the embrace that Mary sought was premature. It was premature. Jesus had not yet returned to the Father. It was premature. Why? It would be clouded by Mary's lingering sin. It was premature in that it would be terminated by Mary's death. She would not be able to hold to him forever, but the cords of death would take her and pull her away from Jesus, ending that embrace. Jesus must leave so that he can bring Mary to embrace him through the Spirit, by faith, in a realm that is not plagued by sin or death. Mary's desire to embrace Christ as raised from the dead is natural. It is the natural reflexive function of faith to want to cling to Jesus. But embracing Christ by the Spirit sent from heaven is better for Mary, and it's better for you. Why? It is the beginning of what will constitute the church's permanent, unbreakable embrace of Christ in the age to come. What you do, what Mary did when she embraced Christ by faith through the Spirit, was to lay hold of him in such a way that will characterize the future heavenly communion that is yours with Christ and in Christ. To lay hold of Christ by the Spirit, please hear this, is to enter into that mode of embrace that cannot be terminated by death. Laying hold of Christ by the Spirit brings within it the promise that Christ by the Spirit will raise you up bodily and bring you where He is forever. Where Christ goes, He goes for you. Where Christ goes, He goes to bring you where He is. His ascension is an opening of the way to heaven, where His people will be raised to embrace Him by faith forever and glorify and enjoy Him forever. And to make this clear, He says this, I am going to my Father and your Father. I am going to my Father and your Father. The Father of Jesus Christ is Mary's Father in Christ. Jesus unites believers with Him and orients them toward their Father in heaven. And this means that the place that Jesus prepares for you is in your Father's house. And Jesus comes to Mary first so that she might come to know this wonderful truth. My Father is your Father. I will go and send my Spirit so that I, by my Spirit, will bring you where I am. See, listen. Until you are with Jesus and He is present bodily, you have an aching in your heart that cannot be fully satisfied. And Jesus is telling you this, that if you long to be with me right now and have embraced me by faith through the Spirit, I am coming again for you. And I, when I return, will take away all of the sin and all of the sorrow and all of the hardship and all of the weakness and all of the suffering and all of the tears and all of the travail and all of the tribulation will melt away when I appear. And I raise you up into my Father's house. Now, by faith, through the Spirit, you have embraced Christ. The embrace that you have by faith will be escalated in two ways in the future. When you die, if the Lord tarries, when you die, you will be ushered into the presence of Christ to embrace Him with the fullness that the Apostle Paul calls better than what you now have. It is better to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. You will embrace Him in that way. But secondly, when Christ returns bodily from heaven, He will summon you by name into His presence. When He raises your body, still united to Christ, laid in the grave, He will raise your body and reunite it with your soul. And the embrace of faith will give way to sight. And you will lay hold of your Savior forever. And the Lord will say this, that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And you will see your Savior face to face. And one thing He will never say to you is this, do not cling to Me. He will tell you, never again must you wait. Never again is something better on the horizon. He will tell you, lay hold of Me and cling to Me forever in your Father's house. And you will be given full, free, direct, and perfect access to your Savior. And your inviolable communion bond with Him in the Spirit will be perfected. And Rabboni will echo through the corridors of your Father's house forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would bless us as we lay hold of Jesus Christ, and we pray that He would come quickly. We pray that You would encourage us and bless us as we find in Him the One who quiets our hearts and fills our souls with life and hope. We ask that You would cause us to reflect on Your Word by faith, and that You would use Your Word to lead us to Christ, and that by the power of Your Spirit, this embrace that we have would grow in its depth and intimacy and vitality. We pray that You would encourage us and fill us with Your Spirit as we continue to worship You in spirit and truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.